Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, it's our first episode, so we're really nervous.
The brand new podcast.
Yeah. The brand new podcast where we never say problematic things. Yeah.
Not yet, anyway.
Oh, God. What, like, a meta thing that would be if we just, like, went back and tried to redo the first episode?
I think, have we talked about doing that before?
We made, like, a joke about something similar, but not, like, actually going back and redoing the first episode. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, if we just, because I feel like the first episode, like, the early episode, I guess it's the same with any podcast, like, the early episodes are a little bit, they're not quite as wacky and carefree.
Yeah, like, I can't, because I haven't listened to it. I remember you saying a while ago that you had listened back to the first episode, and you were like, wow, we've come a long way since
then. Yeah, that was ages ago.
See, I can't, but I haven't listened to, like, literally the first episodes since they came out. So I don't know what we sounded like at all.
No. I just remember it just being like, hello, welcome to our podcast. We're going to talk about Harry Potter.
Oh, God. I can't imagine we were that bad. Like,
no, I was exaggerating.
Oh, dear. Well, thank fuck you ain't got to listen to that anymore. We're all experienced now, and we always know exactly what to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are we doing today, Tom?
Oh, shit. I don't know. God, I haven't got a lot of experience doing this. Sorry. Today we're talking about... I think we're going to hit the halfway point of Deathly Hallows today.
Oh, really?
So there are 37 chapters.
Yeah.
So, like, halfway through chapter 19 will be halfway.
I can't even remember what happens in chapter 19. Oh, Cecil Bordeaux.
Let's build the anticipation. It's fucking Silver Doe, Ron comes back, kills the Horcrux. Snape sent it, by the way.
Oh, God. So, yes, I guess when Harry dives into the lake, that's like... Or when the Horcrux opens, that's like the halfway through point. When Ron brings that sword down, he's like, fucking hell, Harry, I think we're halfway through. Yeah. And I was like, thank fuck.
Now kill that Horcrux, it's freaking me out.
Kill that Horcrux and use the point of the sword to... bring me off.
Yes, you see those sort of weird ethereal versions of me and Hermione. See what you can make happen with that sword.
See if you can spear them both. Anyway, chapter 17.
Bathilda's Secret. Is Bathilda not Bathilda, isn't it?
I used to say Bathilda, and now I say Bathilda.
I think they say Bathilda in the films, but I think Stephen Fry says Bathilda in the audiobooks.
I think Bathilda sounds better.
Yeah, me too. And Bathilda. In, you know, in all first names, TH should be pronounced T, in this Thomas's opinion.
I'm trying to think of other first names that have it.
Theodore.
Nathan does. Yeah, Theodore. Yeah, so your theory falls apart.
My theory is perfectly solid. It's robust and thought through.
Bathilda's secret.
Bathilda's batty.
Do you mean batty in the English way or the Jamaican way?
As in batty crease. I guess, I mean, oh, in the way Ali God. G says it, so I guess the Jamaican way.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember, so I've been looking for this for so long because it's so awful, but I remember being like 9 or 10 and it making me laugh so much. But there was this sketch on the Ali G show where, like, he rescues this woman from, like, a bunch of, like, I don't know. I want to say, like, gangsters or something, but she was like tied to like a tree or something, so he beats them all up and then he goes to rescue her, and then he's like, oh man, I come to rescue you, and then she just goes to him, oh, just flip me over and bone me, and then he goes like, duh, 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 duh. I just remember laughing at that so much, and I can't find the clip, alas. Flip me over and bone me is gonna be my new catchphrase.
It's gonna be Bathilda's catchphrase.
Every time I do something like nice for someone, they're like, how can I repay you?
Just flip me over and bone me.
Sorry, anyway.
Just goes, glad I never do anything nice for you.
Oh, God. Anyway, fucking hell, we'll cut that.
So oh, will we?
Oh, so Hermione notices someone watching them, apparently. Oh, yeah, because they're in the graveyard, aren't they?
They're in the graveyard and she can see some freak perving over them from the bushes.
Yes, she sees mounds of snow slowly dripping off the leaf. She's like, oh, it's not snow at all. And I was oh, that's a terrible joke. Fucking hell. No. No, it's not snow, it's icing sugar.
No, there it's cum.
Well, either way, Harry, I'm going to put it in my baking, so.
Why is there so much of it in this graveyard?
Oh, this is a graveyard for 80s male escorts, Harry. Can't you see?
I know they say graveyards are supposed to be spooky, but...
Oh, I want the fucking the Scooby Gang to show up during this book.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe now. Harry's like, what's that rumbling sound of fucking of the mystery machine just like plowed into the graveyard, knocks over his parents' headstones. Like, oh, sorry, man, we were chasing the... I don't know, who was the... Is always the villain in Scooby-Doo was, like, the manager of the fairground.
You always thought it was the caretaker. I mean, you're always supposed to think it was the caretaker. There was always a red herring of, like, of some kind.
Yeah.
Is that the proper use of red herring? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I mean, kind of red herring is when you're led to believe it's this thing, person that done it, and then it turns out it wasn't.
Yeah, so they always have that in Scooby-Doo.
Apart from one awesome series of Scooby-Doo, where it was like Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts or something, and the villains actually did turn out to be ghosts and demons, and that was sick. So I really liked that. Alas, we're not watching Scooby-Doo. We're watching Scooby-Doo in Harry Potter. Harry Potter and the Mystery Machine. Now that's a book I want to read.
Harry Potter and the Mystery Machine.
Yeah. They all just get high and like fuck in the bag. And Daphne's like, can someone hand me that peanut butter? Oh, Daphne.
Ooh, ooh.
Just eat it like a sandwich, Scoob. Oh,
oh, peanut butter and jelly.
Anyway, so yeah, fucking so they leave the cemetery.
Yeah, well, Hermione just sort of drags him down an old down some lane, and Harry's like, why do you stop? Look.
Yeah, and in the distance, not in the distance, in the foreground, I guess, this old yeah,
right in
looking
front of them.
Yeah.
Hermione, look at that house in the distance. Harry.
Harry, you've got the telescope the wrong way. Is it called a telescope? What's the thing you use on a ship?
Telescope? Spyglass? I mean, the other thing is binoculars.
You wouldn't use binoculars because that's too like modern. You'd want to use the one that's just one eye.
I mean, that's a telescope.
Yeah? Okay. Isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. But
I think a telescope is like the big things that you use to look up at the stars with.
Yes, I wonder what a one on a ship is called. Yeah, I can't think. Telescope sounds too fancy for it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry's looking down the wrong end of that.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry, you silly boy. Yeah, it's a big house with a hole on top.
Sounds like you're describing a cake.
Her man's like, Harry, so you are looking for the right end now, but you're pointing it at the bakery across the road. He's like, oh, sorry. What else can I see? Oh my god, we seem to be right in front of a forest. And Marty's like, no, I haven't shaved, Harry. We've been on the road a while. Put it away. Anyway.
Yes, put your skirt down, Hermione.
Anyway, it's a big house and it's got a hole on top.
Yeah, it's got a big blasted out chunk of the ceiling. And Harry's all like, oh, puts his hands on the gate and a wooden panel appears.
Yeah, and it's got like, it's like, Did I write down what it said? I don't think I did. That would be very unlike me. It's like, here is the final thingy. Here is the place where James and Lily Potter died, and their son Harry, the only known person to survive the killing curse, survived against the Dark Lord and blah, blah, blah. We leave it here as a monument to them, and because we couldn't be arsed to clear it out.
Yes. There's not much in the way of, Godric's Hollow Council funding for rebuilding this kind of thing.
But yeah, and then on the sign, it's got like handwritten messages from people who like wanted to like leave their respects and stuff like that.
Harry Potter is gay.
Anyway, so then Hermione's like, oh, the fucking graffiti. And Harry's like, no, I love it. Look, it's all nice and shit. And then Harry's like notices that someone's sort of like hobbling towards them across the street.
Yeah, or slithering towards them.
Or Gryffindoring towards them. Or Hufflepuffing towards them. Because they're very unfit, you see.
Those Hufflepuffs.
What a nice name for like a brand of cigarettes.
Hufflepuff. Relax with a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
I don't think cigarettes are a profitable industry anymore.
Well, it depends on what you put in them.
What are you suggesting?
I don't know, whatever is the easiest illegal substance to obtain.
Sneak a bit of smack in there. Really take the edge off.
Yeah, and then it's an old woman and she looks proper terrible.
And yeah.
She sort of sidles up to them.
She looks almost like a dead body walking.
But yeah, because what we didn't mention is that they're under the invisibility cloak and she can somehow see them. Which yeah. I was like, excuse me.
I was a bit like that as well. Why can the snake see them through the invisibility cloak?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if maybe the snake could just sense them with its like snaky sense.
Yeah, and I mean, it is still, everything is still covered in snow as far as we know.
Yeah, maybe Hermione hasn't bothered to like thingy the
Yeah, because I mean, she's been like watching them since the graveyard, and I can't imagine she would have like taken, the snake would have taken its eyes off of where they are, and like if it saw them disappear under the cloak, would have probably had some sense of where they were going anyway. Maybe
it must be something like that. I'm like, maybe there's like a good, maybe she's actually like answered the question, so maybe that might be something worth looking at online to see if someone actually has the proper answer.
Yeah, because my explanation of why Moody could see through it was that the whole Deathly Hallows, the power of the Deathly Hallows thing hadn't been fully like thought through yet. But this is the same fucking book.
Yeah, it's all tosh and wallop, isn't it?
Anyway, it
turns like Harry's like, "Are you befooled a bag shot?" She nods, I think, and then she like turns and walks, and they follow her.
Yeah, she like beckons them.
Yeah, so they end up at her house, and then we go inside, and it stinks really, really bad.
Yeah, it smells bad, and it's super old, and Harry and Hermione are like, ew.
Well, what else smells bad and is super old? Duh. 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 Duh.
Your mama.
I'm sure that somebody's mum does.
Yeah, but so that's... if your mum is old and smells super bad, take that.
Yeah, if your mum's older smells bad, she's probably a snake. Kill her.
Kill her quickly now.
But do it with a sword. So as soon as Harry gets in the house, the locket starts like pulsing against his chest.
Yeah, the little guy in the little bit of Voldemort in the locket. Doing the Saturday Night Fever.
Why doesn't it do that just being around Harry, since it's like inches away from the other part of its soul, you know?
Yeah, I mean, is that what it is? I guess if it is just the being near another part of the soul, then yeah. But I feel like the snake is more of a like active part of, it's more of an active Voldemort-y consciousness, maybe, because Voldemort's kind of...
I think it is, but I don't think that's to do with the Horcrux aspect of it particularly. That obviously helps, but like it's not got any more of his soul in it than Harry does. Do you know what I mean?
No, but there's like a telepathic connection between them. So I feel like...
Yeah, but same with him and like him and Harry. It's like, I get what you're saying, but yeah. I don't think that it's, that's that connection is like... Because like the amount of control he has is because of the Horcrux, but the connection, I think, is only like tangentially related to the Horcrux, you know?
I guess so. I guess maybe it could also be that it can sense that the plan is close to working in general.
I don't know. I don't buy that.
No.
Because I sort of got the impression that it was getting excited because it was... There's another thing that happens where... She's like, where she says that, like, yeah, like when Harry was close to Voldemort and he would get the intense pain, it's because that part of the soul was trying to rejoin the whole. And so I feel like that's how the locket's reacting, trying to rejoin the whole. But Voldemort isn't there. So that's why I thought it was weird, you know, like, why would you? Because then it should have been jumping every time it was on Harry. Maybe it's because there's another part of the soul in the room, so that's three soul parts in the room instead of just the two that are usually together with Harry and wearing the Horcrux. Maybe it's the presence of another part of the soul. It's like extra soul, so it's like getting excited because that's even more of its like limbs that are close to it, if that makes sense.
It's excited, get real soul-y. Yeah.
Anyway, so Bathilda, like, summons Harry and Hermione to, like, follow her further into the house and stuff. And she starts lighting candles. And Harry's, like, perplexed as to why she isn't using magic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess the snake can't do that.
Well, yeah, if she's dead, like, how's she going to use a wand?
Yeah, I mean, if the snake picks up Bathilda's wand with, you know, using the Bathilda corpse that it has and tries to have her, I guess it can't say incantations.
Well, no, it can't do anything. She's literally, like, the fact that the snake is able to manipulate it at all is just the feat of Voldemort magic, you know? So yeah. It's like, and the magic that was in her, I guess, is already, like, went as soon as she died. I imagine that's how it kind of works, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the snake itself, given that it's Voldemort-y, couldn't cast any magic itself then, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah.
But Harry notices like a load of photographs in there and stuff, and then he sees one that has the blonde boy that he'd seen in Grigorovich's like mind, and then he also remembers that he'd seen that boy in a photo with Dumbledore in Rita's book, and he's like,
Hermione, who is this? Why am I making these noises?
Harry's like, Hermione, look.
Hermione's like, who's that?
Yeah, so Harry's like, Bathilda, who is it? Who is the boy in the photo? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? And she won't answer him. And then...
Yeah, at one point she goes into the other room and they hear her yell, come! And Hermione jumps. So Hermione must have just heard like a hiss then.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so that must have been before Harry followed her, right? Because when the next time she motions for Harry to follow her upstairs, then him and Hermione both go, and then she sort of like motions for Hermione to stay put.
Yeah, it's just Harry by himself.
Yeah. And Harry's like, oh, I'm getting lucky at last. And Hermione's like, oh, but Harry, it's old and it smells bad. And he's like, it's right, it's nothing that a bit of Febreze can't fix. And Hermione's like, okay, well, make sure you get a good look so you can show me in the pensive later. It's like, okay. Oh, God, just the image of fucking like a dead Bathilda on the bed. And Harry just like, fucking like in there, his glasses like pushed up against, I guess, like the decaying bush. When Hermione comes in and Harry just like turns and he's just got like green goop like on his
Jesus
face.
Christ.
And she's like, Harry, this isn't what Dumbledore wanted.
The sword's not in there, Harry.
It is, Hermione. If I get in deep enough, I know it's going to come out. I can see the ruby red hilt.
Look, I put it on. If I put it on my head and shout help like I did in book two.
Oh, God. No, that doesn't happen. See a Harry Potter.
I like that you have to just clarify that every time. Just in case you thought that's what happened in the book. That doesn't happen.
I just had an image of like a mum like listening to this in like her car, and like her like older children are like in there with them and stuff. But like it gets to that bit and she just presses stop and she's like, and that's enough of that, I think. And that's the last she ever listened to Polly Rent.
Alas. So where were we? Harry's fucking the snake.
No, like he follows upstairs and they go into a room and it's, and then like, so this bit is when I started to get, I was like quite tense when I first read this, especially like this whole bit is quite tense. But so they go into a darkened like bedroom and Harry sort of walks in first and then Matilda is near the door. So as she's shutting the door, she shuts the door and then Harry straight away says Lumos. And he says Lumos, and as his wand lights up, she's, like, right in front of him. And Harry, like, gets a bit spooked because, this like, the speed at which she got from the door to him is, like, unnaturally fast. And that the image of that sort of frightened me a little bit.
Yeah, that would make me make a mess, I think.
Yeah, I would. I think that's at that point.
I'd find it very exciting is what I mean.
Harry's like,
sorry, I gotta stop looking at that photo.
So just the combination of the photo and the dead aromas, it's just too much for a young boy to handle.
There's been so much talk of getting on with dead bodies over the last 7 books or so. I'm excited to finally get some of the action.
Yeah, so she goes to him, you are Potter, yes? And he goes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
yes. and then he goes, have you got the sword? And then she like points to like a dresser over in the corner. And he sort of goes over to it and he goes, what, like in here? And he hasn't taken his eyes off of her because he's like quite rightly scared. And then she keeps on pointing, and in the second that Harry like looks away from her at the dresser, he sees like a motion, and bum bum bum.
Yeah, and the way this is described in the book is terrifying, with the snake like pouring out of her neck, and her body like sinking in on itself. And the way it looked in the film is so fucking stupid. Like, just collapses into a pile of clothes, and then a snake just erupts from the pile of clothes, going, wah!
It's not
scary at all. It looks comical.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, obviously, I guess they're kind of bound by what they can put in, like, a 12A film.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because this whole scene is one of the only, like, genuinely scary bits in the Harry Potter series, I think.
Yeah.
It's so tense and so frightening, I think. And also, it's so, in the book, it's so dark, as in, like, lighting-wise, whereas in the film, it's quite brightly lit, which is kind of takes away from, which it has to be, I guess, because it'd be very hard to sort of have this scene play out without everything being completely fully visible all the time. But it's a shame, because it kind of takes away from how actually scary it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and Harry's like in the moment of transformation, or in the moment when the snake realizes that it's Harry, he has a weird little Voldemort teleport moment, and hears himself say in a high, cold voice, "Hold him," like that, in fucking Voldemort's dumb voice.
Hold him.
That's better.
So yeah, as the fight ensues and stuff like that, Harry can see Voldemort coming up to the house from in like his mind's eye. So he jumps across the bed and grabs Hermione. Hermione sends like a killing, she sends like a, it's not a stunning spell, it's just like a red spell at the snake, which rebounds around the room.
Yeah, it's like a bouncy blast.
Yeah, and then it smashes the window, I think. So then Harry says, he's here, Hermione, he's here. And like he grabs her, and they leap out of the window, and as they leap, Harry gets a mind's eye flash again from Voldemort, who has like just entered the room, and goes up to the window that they've just jumped out of, and Voldemort sees both of them like disappear in midair. And Voldemort's obviously like enraged because of he was like a second away from catching them.
Yeah, he's all like, no.
Yeah.
No.
No!
No! Harry!
Oh, fucking hell! Nagini, you prick.
I was this close.
I said hold him, you silly cunt.
Oh, God. But he looks down and he sees that Harry has dropped the picture of the young boy thief, and it's the boy that Voldemort's been looking for.
And Voldemort's like,
and then his green spooge just spills over the picture.
His grooge.
And then like Harry's like, fuck, because now that means
again his old catchphrase.
Yeah, because now Voldemort's going to know who the fucking boy was.
Yeah. Why? What? Because Voldemort doesn't know who that is already. Because he's all like, who's the thief?
Mm.
So now he sees the picture there in Matilda's house.
Isn't it the picture of Grindelwald and Dumbledore?
No, it's just a picture of Grindelwald that Harry recognises from having seen it with Dumbledore. Seen a picture of him with Dumbledore, I think. I'm pretty sure it's just a picture of Grindelwald, though.
Right, okay. Yeah, I was a bit like, okay, well, just because he's seen another picture doesn't mean he's going to know who it is. But I guess it's a link. Now he sort of knows where to start looking, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Could they not have disapparated from inside the house?
I mean, yeah, I don't know what happens to, like, charms and stuff when... I mean, I guess probably not, because there must have been some kind of apparition charm still active, because otherwise why would Voldemort even bother coming in through the front door?
That's true. Yeah, it must be that they had to be actually outside the walls of the house. All right, let's say that, because otherwise...
Yeah, anyway, fuck it. So then they wake up, you know, Harry wakes up and they're in the tent. In the forest, and Hermione is sponging him.
Giving him the old wet sponge, the old soapy sponge. But also we get the full James and Lily death scene.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? It's my fault. I'm not actually reading my notes. That's the problem. Yeah, and kind of like all of our questions are answered about why, like, they didn't do this and they didn't do that.
I can't remember what those questions were or what the answers to them would be, but let's just, I'm happy to just agree that that's true, that we once had questions and that they have now been answered.
Well, because like Voldemort's like, he sort of thinks back as to, because he was like, oh, I was so close to think it could have ended where it all began, I mean, Godric's Hollow, then he thinks back. And, like, Harry's seeing all of this. And so Voldemort went up the garden path towards the front door, and through the window he sees Lily leaving the room with baby Harry, and James plonk himself on the sofa and put his wand on the sofa. So when Voldemort blasts the door open, James just, like, runs into the corridor without picking up his wand.
Still dumb. Still makes no sense. You would obviously pick up your wand.
I mean, the shock of your door being blasted open, I can
understand. Make you instinctively grab for your wand, because that's the world you live in, where your wand is your method of defense of doing everything.
I mean, I don't, but thing is, though, you don't know. You just don't know. If you're not...
Yes, you do. It's bullshit. If his wand is next to him on the couch and he hears bang, someone break through the front door, you don't not pick up your wand when you run to the front door.
No, I'm sorry, but you don't know what people do when they're not prepared. Because it's not like he was in like a battle situation where that kind of quick thinking, like you've been sort of trained to do kind of thing. If you're relaxing at home, thinking you're safe as houses pretty much, and your front door blasts off its hinges, the kind of few seconds it takes for you to jump up and investigate, I think it's very... And especially, like, if he flopped down from, like, you know, because he's had, like, a tired day or something like that, you don't know how someone's going to react in that situation. So I can buy that he didn't think to pick it up in that moment, because it's not like he had seconds to like.
I don't buy it because I don't think it would have been a, oh, I think I need to pick up my wand. It would have been instinct because that is the world they live in.
Yeah, but you don't know that though.
Okay, well, I don't know. And as much as we don't know anything, I don't know the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Is that people don't always like you. Like, I get what you're saying. What I'm saying is that people sometimes do really stupid things in moments like that.
I guess. So
I didn't sort of think it was ridiculously stupid because of the speed at which everything happened. Because Voldemort says how foolish of him it was to not pick up his wand. So I think it was just like a real grave mistake that James made in that moment because he didn't think, you know?
I don't see why it was necessary for James, like just from the writing perspective. Why was it necessary for James not to have a wand? Why could they not have had a little duel?
I guess because it just makes it quicker.
But why did it need to be quick?
Because Voldemort, he's a busy man, you know, he's not got time.
So if James had picked up his wand, he would have said, fuck it, I'll go find the Longbottom boy.
I mean, to be fair, I'm sure it would have ended the same way. I'm sure that if Voldemort tries to Avada Kedavra you, then you ain't gonna fucking stand a chance.
Yeah, exactly. So why have this thing if he didn't pick up his wand? It just seems like a way of making the character dumb without needing to.
I don't know. I think it was so... Because it wasn't like they were in the back room and they heard the thing and then James was like, I'll go and check what that is, and then went without his wand. It was so quick and, you know... So, like, I preferred it that way. I quite liked that he didn't have his wand.
All right. Strong disagree, but that's fine. Let's move on.
So he kills him. He goes upstairs chasing Lily and Harry, and Lily doesn't have her wand on her either.
She does the old classic, not Harry, please not Harry, and he's like, ah, there it is. Such a stirring performance. Well done. Avada Kedavra.
If they ever make a movie of this, Lily, I hope that you're played by Joanna Lumley, because I really think she could do a good job with this scene. Her and her sexy teeth. Oh god, but what's surprising is that he gives her two chances to step aside.
Yeah, and is this because Snape has like asked him to?
Yeah, and I always thought it was a bit weird that Voldemort even gave a shit what Snape wanted.
Yeah, was it like because Snape had told him what he heard in the prophecy?
I think that, and because Snape was obviously like a loyal Death Eater at that point still.
Yeah, and was like, and you know, super good and useful tool and stuff.
Yeah.
But still, you'd think that Voldemort's whole mentality would be, well, I give a shit, you serve me or
exactly,
I kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, because Voldemort literally, like, he's not got like a conscience or anything like that. So I don't know why he would give a shit that Snape had. Maybe he didn't want to give his most faithful servant, like, a reason to.
Do exactly what he ends up doing.
Yeah, so maybe that's why he was like, fine, yeah, I'll do that for her. Or maybe because he says later in the book, he says Snape just, like, he only lusted after her. And that's why, and he, like, he obviously can understand that feeling.
Mm.
So maybe he was just like, you know. Anyway, so he gives her
two. Want to let my boy get his end off. Now her husband's out of the picture.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, he kills Lily. And then he goes to kill Harry, and then he points the wand in his face. And then he's like, he wanted to see the light leave his eyes or something like that. And I was like, that's an unusual level of cruelty in that, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it is. If it was just any random baby that in someone's house that he killed, then yeah. But this is like the one who, as far as he knows, is prophesied to bring about his downfall. So he wants to like make fucking sure that it gets done, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's pretty sure at that moment that spell is going to work because it always does. So the fact he had to, like, get that extra element in there was a bit distressing to me.
I mean, there's not a lot about killing a baby that isn't distressing.
No, I mean, it wasn't even like he just wanted to, like, point over the crib and do it. The fact he wanted to, like...
Yeah, but it's a momentous moment, isn't it? It's him overcoming this prophesied downfall.
I mean, I guess so. Anyway, so he does it, and then he says, and then nothing. He was blasted away, and then he had to run into hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Anyway, so Harry's in the tent. Hermione's sponging him. Oh, it's all soppy and porous. Yeah, so Harry wakes up and he's like, and Ryan's like, oh, thank God, Harry.
Sorry, I was sponging you so hard.
Yeah, and then Hermione's like, oh, Harry, you were like, you were mumbling in your sleep, and I had to cut the locket off of your chest because it was like fused to your skin and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, and you were being all freaky and weird, not in a sexy way.
And then he's like, so they sort of talk about what happened, and then Harry asks for his wand, and Hermione's like, nope. And she shows him his broken
Now's
wand.
Not the time for that, Hermione. Where's my wand?
Hermione's like, it's in my mouth. And he's like, no, my other wand. My magic wand. She's like, it's in my mouth. Hermione, be serious.
What do you mean it's broken? Ah!
Yeah, and she's like, look, Harry, when I did that curse, I think it broke the wand. And then Harry's like, repair it. And she's like, I don't think it'll work. And then he's like, do it. So she does repair it. And it seals itself, and Harry tries a spell, but it sort of like sparks and doesn't do anything. And then it splits again.
And Hermione is sorry.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, fudge. Anyway, we zap into chapter 18, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore.
See.
Anyway, Harry's royally pissed off about his wand.
Yes, general devastation about the wand, which is because he's, you know, kind of always had in the back of his mind that this twin core protection thing is, like, active, and so he's got that as a kind of edge, and now that's gone.
I don't know why he doesn't just maybe think to maybe just, like, fashion a wand out of something else. Like, they're in a forest.
Yeah. I mean, like, wand craft is a tricky thing, I imagine. He's got the phoenix feather, though, still.
Yeah, so if they... And, like, what's his name? Ollivander's like, you know, any wizard worth his salt can channel his magic through pretty much anything. So I wonder why he didn't just think to maybe, like, pick a branch off of, like, a decent tree, maybe just craft that into, like, a wand shape and put his feather inside it.
Huh, maybe. You'd have thought he might have given it a go.
Yeah. Because, like, Hermione, I'm sure there's, like, spells to, like, craft things.
Yeah.
Hermione could have just done that, I think.
Whittle. Whittleyo.
Yeah, I think so. See, this is when the fucking, like, African wizards would have been, like, totally sorted, because they wouldn't fucking need a wand at all.
No, but then also they would have died at the end of book four, because the twin core thing wouldn't have been a thing.
I guess so, yeah. But maybe not. Maybe, like, the Voldy soul in the head thing, maybe that would have still protected him.
That's a nice, concise way of describing it. The Voldy soul in the head thing.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Hermione says, look, I stole this book from Batilda's place. It's Dumbledore Meets Grindelwald. No, I was going to say it's the book is not called Dumbledore Meets Grindelwald.
When Dumbledore Met Grindelwald. Read this scene in the restaurant, Harry.
Oh my god. Yeah, Grindelwald kills the Muggle waitress, and Dumbledore's like, I'll have what he's having.
Yeah. And Harry's devastated. I can't believe it.
No, she nabs a copy of Rita's book and they start reading it together.
Yes.
I mean, it's not very interesting, to be honest. Like, literally, I think this is the shortest amount of notes I've ever written for a chapter.
Yeah, me too. There's not a great deal that happens in here. It's, yeah, basically, they discover that the picture is Grindelwald.
Yeah.
And the two were good friends. Grindelwald was Bathilda Bagshot's nephew.
They talk about how Grindelwald went to stay with his aunt because he got expelled from Durmstrang. Aunt Batty. Do you remember Fern Gully?
That's a thing I have heard of, but I don't really remember what it is.
So there's a bat in the film whose name is Batty. He's like, my name is Batty. My logic is erratic. Toys in the attic. My logic is scrambled. Duh, 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 duh. But I'm a mammal, he says. Yeah, so Batilda is actually a giant bat lady.
Called Batty.
Yeah, Batty Bagshot.
Loves it in the Batty crease.
She loves it in her bag. She loves it when you shoot in her bag.
You give her the old bag shot, you know?
Which really, maybe that can be taken in two ways. The one I'm preferring at the moment is that you ejaculate over her face and she uses it as an under eye serum. And then so they became friends, Dumbledore and Grindelwald, because they were around the same age, and Dumbledore was sad because he was back at home.
When he should have been off on a trip with Elphias Doge, but he's back at home.
Was it because his mum died?
Ostensibly because his mum died, but Skeeter reckons... ostensibly it was because his mum died and he was there to take care of the family, but Skeeter reckons it was to try and maintain the imprisonment of Ariana.
Grande.
Yes.
Yes. Maintain her imprisonment. She's like, I've been here all night. I've been here all day. And Dumbledore, I just want to go outside. Tom doesn't know that song.
I do not. I have to just... I mean, I'm assuming that's an Ariana Grande song. Otherwise, that would be very random indeed.
So, yeah. And so they keep on sending letters back and forth to each other. And one of them says, Dumbledore, he's basically like, look, Grindelwald, I agree with what you're saying about wizard dominance.
Yes, we have a power, and yes, that gives us a right to rule, but it also gives us a responsibility over the ruled. And your point about it being for the Muggles' own good is a crucial point. Where we are opposed, as we surely will be, this must be a basis for all of our counter-arguments. If we meet resistance, we use only necessary force. This was your mistake at Durmstrang, which is why you got expelled. We seize control for the greater good.
Yeah. And there's an incident which leaves Ariana dead, and Grindelwald like flees the country kind of like that night.
Yeah, supposedly Grindelwald was in the house when Ariana died.
And there's questions about it and stuff, and no one knows what happened exactly.
Yeah, which, like, I mean, did That's law enforcement itself, not get it? Involved?
Yeah, because like...
Because if there was a murder...
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So yeah. I don't know how anyone got away with that, really. And then Hermione's like, well, that greater good thing, that became Grindelwald's, like, you know, catchphrase kind of thing. So Harry's kind of left sitting at the front of the tent, like, after this, kind of reeling, being so angry that Dumbledore left him in such a fucking kerfuffle.
Yes. Dumbledore left me with such a kerfuffle.
I wonder how that term originated, because what does cur mean? Curse blush. So cur doesn't mean anything. It's usually used as like
just a prefix to a to an onomatopoeic
but
something.
What's his name? Sir Lancelot, not Sir Lancelot, not Sir Mix-a-Lot. What's his name? Sir
Kill-a-Lot from Robot Wars.
What's the fucking knight's name from this, from book three?
Sergeant Bash.
Master Bait. No, not him. What's his name?
Cadogan.
That's it, yeah. He calls someone a scurvy cur.
So what does that mean? But that's different. That's C-U-R-R, isn't it?
I'm guessing so, but can we not, like, for this purpose, use them interchangeably? That's a cur. A dog considered to be inferior or undesirable, a mongrel. So maybe there was a dog and his name was Fuffle.
Fuffle. That's quite a nice name for a pet, actually. I don't know about a dog, maybe like a hamster or something.
Fuffle. If it was like a really like fluffy dog, I think Fuffle would be nice.
Yeah.
Maybe that might... No, I might start using that as my, like, nickname. Everyone's like, oh, is Fuffle coming? And we're like, who the fuck is Fuffle?
Where could Fuffle be, like, an alter ego of yours? Oh, so it's like, it's not just you.
Fuffle, I feel, would be the me when I'm like at my most drunk, that I get to that point where I'm being like really like nice and like warmy and glowy. That's Fuffle.
Just when you hit that point, but before you be sick.
Yeah.
when you're sick, you're Kerfuffle.
Yeah. And in the morning, I'm a scurvy cur. Anyway, never mind all that kerfuffle. We're in chapter 19 now. The silver dog. I mean, doe.
The silver cur.
Yes, so Harry is doing a watch.
All over the tent. Hermione is like, that's not the most optimal way to watch, Harry.
Harry, when you do a watch, you wind it up and then you put it inside. And Harry's like, ah. She's like, yes, I saw it in a film once. No watch.
Yeah. Oh. I was trying to think of some relevant words I could use to say in a Christopher Walken impression, but nothing came quick enough.
Harry.
You do a watch.
This watch was in your dad's ass. But he's dead now. I was like, thank you.
Yes, I saw. Not too long ago, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't see the watch in his ass, but thank you for that extra detail.
Yes, I did wonder what that ringing sound was, but now I know. It had obviously gone off. So Harry is doing a watch. And a bright silver light appears.
Yeah, they've been saying that like the last couple of nights Hermione's been like, I think I've been seeing people, like sensing people lurking outside of our little tenty area.
Yeah, I think I've been sensing someone in my bush.
Yes, in the forest of Dean.
Yeah, so silver dough.
Yes. Big lump of dough.
Yes. So silver. Because Harry's trying out a new recipe. It's called Spooge McDuck. And it's a breaded poultry casserole.
Spooge McDuck. That's amazing.
Oh, God, I'm glad I got one this fucking episode. Anyways. Anyway, yeah, so he sees the silver light coming through the trees. And he's like, And as he gets closer, he sees silver doe that's, like, treading very lightly over the leaves and stuff. It's very pretty.
Yes, it's very pretty.
Yes. And he says, I shall follow it wherever it may go. There isn't a valley too deep. There isn't a mountain too steep to keep me from you. Because I love him. I love him. I love him.
Mate. Oh, God. So we'll cut this. But like the other day, you know, I'm like getting into Twitch and watching gamers doing live streams and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of them, they have like little notifications that go off on the screen when someone like follows or subscribes or whatever. So when someone follows or subscribes to your channel, you have a little alert that goes off on screen. It's like a little animation and a sound effect.
Yeah.
And one of them that I've been watching, I thought every time his follow alert goes off, plays a little snippet of a song, and every time I hear it, I'm like, that's a fucking banger, what is that? And I asked in the chat what it is, and he was like, oh, it's called I Will Follow Him from Sister Act.
No.
And then he posted a link to the YouTube like clip of that part of the film, and I went and watched it, and I was like, yeah, I'm excited to do Sister Act now.
Well, you fucking didn't want to do it, so I took it off the list. Oh.
But that's the only reason I understood what song you were doing there, because literally like a few days ago that happened.
Oh, God. No, I feel that we should keep that. Fine, right, okay, yeah, I'm putting Sister Act back on the list then.
Back on the Patreon list, okay.
Back in the Habit, which is the name of the sequel. So yeah, then he's like, oh, this feels like a good spectre, so I shall follow it.
I love it. I love it. And where it goes, I'll follow.
Oh, God. And he's just like singing that as like he's like skipping through the trees following it.
Then Ron just comes in with like the backing vocals in the distance.
I love him. I love him. I love him. Oh, God. So it leads him to like a frozen lake.
Yeah, and it vanishes and plunges him back into darkness. And he's all like, oh, shit.
Fuck yeah. How does he get any light?
Lumos?
No, but he's got. Oh no, he's got Hermione's wand, hasn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
Of course. God, this whole bit really infuriates me. But so he's frozen lake, and he kind of peers into it.
He pees into it.
And he's like, "I'll melt it square inch by the heat of my pee."
Yeah,
for I am Harry Potter, the chosen one.
Defindo, ha.
PPO. And then he looks in and he sees that at the bottom of the lake, it's not very deep, there's a sword, and it's the sword of Gryffindor.
Yeah, and Harry tries to Accio it and tries to do all that, and he's like, only a true Gryffindor could call the sword. I've got to be brave and chivalrous, although I'm not sure how that plays into it, and something else. And he's like, all right, I know what I've got to do. Breaks the ice, jumps in, but takes his clothes off first, but leaves the locket on.
So
is that succinct enough?
I remember even the first time I read this, I was like, there is like a million ways that you could have got that sword out without having to like jump in for it.
Yeah, that would be the Ravenclaw way though. Or the Slytherin way. Not the Gryffindor
way. But it doesn't matter. Like the sword is not going to disappear from him because...
It might.
It definitely would have.
You did not run my gauntlet. Therefore, you are not a true Gryffindor. Get in the lake, Harry. Get your clothes off. The sword wants to see you in your pants.
I think sword for a sword, Harry.
Let's cross swords.
I'm wondering why Snape felt the need to put it at the bottom of the lake in the first place.
Yeah, that's true, because he's just a cunt.
Why didn't he just like stick it in the ice in the lake and Harry could retrieve it like the sword from the stone?
Yeah.
That'd have been better.
Then the name of the book could be Arthur Potter.
Sorry?
Nothing.
Oh, sorry, I'll hear it on the listen back.
It was a lib dick of a joke anyway.
I sort of thought if that was me, I would have like tried to Wingardium Leviosa like the sediment underneath the sword to like levitate it out that way. That's literally like the first thing that came to my mind when I read this bit. And I thought that would have been so much better.
Yeah, or, you do have a certain knack for trying to like winkle uses out of spells that they're not really like intended for. Just, you know, just something I've noticed with a certain game that we often play together.
Well, I think all my fucking ideas for them are pretty ingenious, and then Tom's like, no, you can't do that.
I'm not always like that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea, well done. But then sometimes you're like, can I use a minor illusion to create an explosion and hide behind it?
No, to be fair, you usually only say no when I try and you do something in battle. You're like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if I were to do that in, like, reality, it would, like, kill the thing, like, instantly. That's just not how it works. Yeah. Oh, good. Anyway, yeah, Harry chooses the most stupid options if I can get in the lake and pull out the sword.
The most Gryffindor option, which is also often the stupidest.
Yeah, if Harry had died in that lake, he would have deserved it, I think.
Yeah.
But at least that would have been one Horcrux down.
And it would have been up to Ron to get the rest.
Yeah. Anyway, so Harry tries to get the sword and the fucking locket pulls him back from it. And Harry's choking.
Not in a fun way.
Yes. He has got a boner, but he can't reach for it, you see.
His hands are too numb.
Yeah, he's got one hand on his sword, but no hands on the right sword. He's got two hands on the Gryffindor sword, and... none of them are jerking him off.
Then he feels arms reach down into the pool and pull him up, and he's like, Cormac?
Yes.
How ironic.
And it's Ron, and Ron's like, what are you bloody doing, mate?
What are you bloody doing, mate? I swear, like, my Ron and Harry voice are both the same. They both just talk like that.
Rary or Hon.
Hon.
I feel like Horn would have solved all of this by now. My trust is in him. So yeah, basically they're like, oh, like Harry's like, oh, I'm glad you came back. And then Ron's like, tells him like, yeah, I thought I saw someone over in the bushes. And Harry's like, and he goes to look, but there's no one there. And then they're like, look, let's destroy the Horcrux. So Harry's like, okay, I've got to speak, pass the tongue to it.
Yeah, but and he's all like, Ron, you need to do it. It's, yeah. You know, you need, it just, he had it, he had the feeling that Ron needed to do it. And it's like, all right, fine, vague. That's, feelings,
yeah, I thought that was so fucking dumb, but like, whatever. So yeah, Harry goes, open sesame, and the thing opens, and Harry sees a set of eyes inside, and they start speaking. So this is one of the very few scenes that is entirely better in the film. Because in the book, I think it sounds stupid and ridiculous, but in the film, it's pretty, like, excellent how they, like, realise
really?
This moment.
Yeah. I think almost the exact opposite.
No way!
Yeah.
Really?
I quite liked it. Like, the way Ron was just dumbstruck by it and, like, the way, the cutting way they say it. Like, I thought it was great in the book, and...
No, I think that's... No, I mean, like, the visuals of it are better in the film. Like, what they say in the book is better,
The visual's fine, but again, my issue is with Dan Radcliffe and Emma Watson's performance.
Yeah, they're like shit as always. Yeah. But, like, because in this bit, like, so it starts like speaking and saying Ron always the second to last to get picked for rounders, and always the one whose jumper gets shrunk in the wash, and then like two like muddy sort of representations of Harry and Hermione start emerging, like their heads start emerging from each half of the locket, and it always just looked too like. Small in scale, and kind of
they do emerge. Their full bodies do emerge though in the book.
They do, but they're both sort of like hanging out of the locket, like they're trees sort of emerging from roots that are in the locket. Whereas in the film, the sort of the scope of that, like the visual in that scene, I think is very beautiful and quiet. It looks better
than the way you imagine it.
Yeah, because the way I imagine it in the book, it looks. I don't think it looks like clean or like it looks like the opposite to what Voldemort would. It doesn't suit his like style, if that makes sense. Whereas how it is in the film looks a lot more sleek and like in line.
Fair enough,
with
but
him,
you that but a lot of that is to do with like the way you imagine the scene as it's described in the book. The way I imagine the scene as described in the book looks awesome.
Well, I'm happy for you. So anyway, like the figures start just like cussing Ron out, basically.
Cussing him out.
Do they make out in the book?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because, yeah, they start saying, oh, why? No, Hermione, like the Hermione figure starts saying, oh, why would I choose you over Harry Potter?
Yeah, who would ever choose you, etc., etc.
Yeah, and then Ron's like, ah, and then he runs forward with his sword and brings it down on the locket and it smashes like a pow. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's what Stephen Fry does on the audiobook.
Really? No, I was like, really, Tom? and then it breaks. And is there more after this? Because my notes stop there.
Yeah, there's the whole of them going back to the tent. And
I thought so. So I must have listened to that and then forgot to write anything down.
I mean, you know, it's basically just like they get back to the tent, poke Hermione awake, and then. And he's like, oh, Hermione, look who's back. And everyone's like, all right, Hermione.
Yeah, and then she's like, where's my wand? And she tries to attack him. And then she's like, you better have a fucking great explanation for where you've been, Sonny. And he's like, well.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
How did they find the tent again? Because it says there's a bit where after they destroy the Horcrux, it's like, now we need to find the tent again. And then it's like, it didn't take as long as Harry thought. The time flew with Ron by his side. And like, how did they work their way back to through the protection charms?
That's such a good point.
Because they must have gone, Harry must have followed the doe out to outside of the protective charms, because
so
otherwise Ron wouldn't be able to see it.
I can imagine that Harry knew like roughly where it was. So once he was able to step inside it, then
He knew to undo the charms once he got to a certain point.
Well, no, because I don't think that it's not like the charms. They're not like the charms that were protecting like the Tonks' house, like from Voldemort. They're just charms to like deter people, and so that you wouldn't see them or hear them. But if you stepped through the boundary of the charm, then you would see and hear them.
Well, then why couldn't Ron just come back as soon as he disapparated?
Because he, as soon as he wanted to, he got grabbed by a band of snatchers, and then he grabbed the wand off them. And then when he did go back, he couldn't find them again because Hermione's like they left pretty soon after that.
Okay.
And so yeah, and so Ron did come back, and then he couldn't find them. Then he kept on, so he just went back home, and then he said that the Deluminator he has started, like, he could hear them talking through it when Hermione mentioned his name. So this whole bit with the Deluminator is fucking ridiculous, because he's like, then he opened it up and a light came out of it and it went into his chest and then it floated outside his door or something, and then he followed it, and it took him to each place that they were, but he could never find them because their protection charms were so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god, okay.
Like, I mean, I didn't have a huge problem with that bit.
I just think, I'm sorry, but I don't accept that. Like, I thought it was so stupid that this, like, trinket just happens to do all this extra other magical nonsense. And it was just so, I just thought it was so dumb and it was so out of nowhere. And I just think that there should have been another device of how he was able to find them.
Yeah.
Because I thought that magical, like, trinket he had managing to suddenly be able to do this thing that we'd never heard of, I just thought it was so dumb. And the way
he's written,
actually,
as well. I know what you mean, actually,
yeah. Because in the film, he kind of does the speech, like, verbatim. And you can... And I know that, like, you think that Ron's a bad actor anyway, but... the dialogue is so stupid that even him trying his best to say it out loud, it sounds ridiculous. And it's not his fault, it's because the actual, that bit of writing is in itself really ridiculous. And I just think it's so dumb, because he's like, I opened the thing, that's it, he's like, I opened the thing and this ball of light came out and it floated outside my window and then it shot through into my chest and like landed here.
And then I knew what to do, and then so I disapparated and arrived here.
It sounds like one of J.K. Rowling's kids like snuck into her office and wrote that bit. Like, that's how sort of, like, out of place it seems.
Yeah, I'd never really considered it before, but I think you're right, actually.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I can't remember how that chapter ends, though.
So Ron says he nicked a wand from... one of the snatchers, because they were idiots. One of them was probably part troll. And he gives Harry the spare wand.
Spare wand. And is that it?
I think so. I mean, that's where my notes stop, so yeah.
So, Mitch, that brings us to the end of this book. Not end of this book. End of this chapter.
Brings us to just over the halfway point of this book.
Yeah, only like what? Four episodes more to go? Three episodes more to go? Not four. No, five episodes more to go?
Sure.
Yeah, fuck knows. We have more episodes to come. So yeah, come back next week. Or don't, it's up to you. I tell you what though, should we throw them a little clip from an upcoming Patreon episode?
Yeah, let's do a little Patreon clip. Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so this is a clip from our upcoming Patreon episode on Disney's The Little Mermaid.
Little fucking mermaid.
No, I don't know why it's a concert. I guess it's like, it's just a thing that happens, a nice little celebration of music.
Well, it's Ariel's presentation concert, because she's turned 16.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, she's like a debutante, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get a song of The Daughters of Triton. Can you remember all the names I got?
No. They all begin with A.
Yeah, like Anal, Arseface, Arbitrician, Armistad, Electo, Harry Potter,
Anne.
Anne Frank. She's the one not singing. So they all are naming themselves, and then they're like, and now it's...
now we present the youngest daughter turning 16 years old. We present to you Ariel.
No, it's our sister, Airy. Like that.
And the crowd's like, Airy what?
And then Triton's like, Ariel. And cut to a shipwreck.
Yes, an elephant graveyard.
Yeah, she laughs in the face of danger. Oh, isn't it funny? Wow, did you enjoy that at all?
I fucking loved it, mate.
I did. It's all fishy. So yeah, that's available on our Patreon for $3.99 a month. You get an episode on the first and third Friday of every month.
Indeed. We also have lots of cool merchandise available at poorlyred.redbubble.com. Loads of cool designs with a new, well, it won't be that new by the time this episode comes out, but a Jagrod design. As well as some other designs to come in the future. You can get printed on all kinds of cool stuff.
Thank you to everyone who's bought stuff so far. Please take pictures of your purchases and then tag us in the photos. We'd Indeed. Love to see them. Find us on our socials on Instagram and Twitter. We're at poorlyredpod. And then email us your tings at poorlyred@gmail.com. And give us 5 stars and a kick-ass review on the Apple Podcast app.
Yes. Is that the end of their to-do list? All right, Alanis.
Yes, always have one hand in your pocket, even when you're driving and operating heavy machinery. Oh, God. Without further ado, I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.